Well, good morning, everybody, and a very warm welcome to our service on this, the last Sunday of 2023. Hardly seems like 2023 has begun, but yet we have somehow managed to make it to the end of this year. So you're very welcome to our service this morning. Now, the number of folk I know are joining us from other locations, and you're equally welcome, and we're glad to have you with us. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of this year, we come to reflect and look back and thank you for all your goodness to us. This morning we want to come especially and give you thanks for the life of Robin Coulter. We thank you for all that he did in the life and work of this congregation. We pray for his widow Margaret and for his family, that at this their time of loss they would know that sense of comfort and peace that only you can provide. We pray for them as they await to make arrangements for his funeral, that you would grant to them of your peace and of your comfort, that in these days they would know the strength that comes from the Lord of life and Prince of Peace. For it's in his name we ask it. Amen. We come at the end of a year. And as we do so, we think of the words of the prophet Jeremiah, written so many years ago. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and to give you a future." And so with those words in mind, we're going to stand and sing, if we're able, that great hymn of John Wesley's, "O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." Let us again unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving God, we thank you that we can come into your presence today and worship you. We thank you that we can come as your children, coming as children to our Father, coming to bring him the worship of our hearts. We thank you that by your Spirit you are present with us. We thank you that we can come into this place in freedom, come here to be still and to know that you are God. We come to bless you for all of your goodness to us. We come to thank you for your power and for your majesty. We come to thank you that so many years ago at that first Christmas you came as the baby in a manger. We thank you that you grew up, that you lived a sinless life. We thank you for your life and your ministry. We thank you for your willingness to go to the cross for each of us to deal with our sin. We thank you that on the third day you rose again and one day ascended, promising that you will come back and take all those who put their trust in you to be with you in heaven forever. And so we come and we thank you and we bless you for all your goodness to us. We thank you that you are our Father and that you are our friend. We pray you would forgive our sin. You would cleanse us from all that is wrong and sinful within us. You would help us day by day to live for you, that the world would see you in us and be drawn to you. So, Father, we thank you that we can come as a church family today. Come with all the different challenges and opportunities, the different joys and sorrows, the different concerns and hopes that each of us have. We thank you that we can bring them to you. We pray now that you would hear us as we pray together that family prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of 3 John, not to be confused with the third chapter of St. John's Gospel, but the third epistle of St. John. You will find it on page 1230 of the Pew Bibles, or if you're looking in your own, it's between 2 John and the book of Jude. It's a book we don't often think about, but we're going to do so this morning. We're going to read together this, the third epistle of St. John. Let's hear God's word. The elder, To my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such men, so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will have nothing to do with us. So if I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, gossiping maliciously about us. Not satisfied with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. Amen. We pray that God himself will bless this reading of his word. Did you have a good Christmas? I'm not going to sit down for the reason being that one of my knees doesn't work, and if I sit down, I might not get up again. And the amount of amusement that will cause to those people sitting back there. So I'll come down here. Well, did you have a good Christmas? All your toys still working? Come on ahead, Aaron. Come on ahead. That's great. See, O ye of little faith who thought that I would have to press gang teenagers. Just saying that, well, that's great. Well, this is the last day of the year, isn't it? Anybody any plans that they know of for next year yet? Nobody has any plans for next year, no. We have somebody now. You have plans, Leo. What are you going to do?
In the summer, we're going to France.
You're going to France in the summer?
For the second time,
that's excellent, yeah. We have been to France twice as well. They let us in the second time because I don't think they knew who we were. Oh, you've been to Disneyland? No, we haven't been allowed in there, yes. We've been embargoed by Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck for very good reasons. Well, it's good to have something to look forward to as well. We're going to think about looking forward in the next week. Anything you want when you look back on 2023, anything that you really enjoyed this year? Anybody enjoy anything? Right, you are, Jordan. What did you enjoy? Did you enjoy?
We get presents.
You got presents. That's it. You got your garage turned into another room, didn't you? That was a really good thing happened at your house. Well, at times like this, at the end of this year, of end of any year, we sometimes look back on things that have happened. And I brought something to show you this morning, and I need somebody with very, very good eyesight. Right, come on ahead. Archie, you have got very, very good eyesight. Now, I want you to try and to tell me, see if you can, first of all, do you know who that lady is on the front?
The Queen.
That's the Queen. Now, do you know which Queen it was?
Victoria.
That's Queen Victoria. Excellent. The people on, there's no hope of being able to zoom in on this. This is a Queen Victoria shilling. Now, can you see at the bottom of that what year that shilling was made? Right at the bottom. 1187. Oh, that's great, thank you. Do you want to check that he's right, Leo? Can you see if it says 1887 at the bottom? Do you see it right at the bottom there? Now, your daddy's an accountant, he's good with numbers. You're safe enough, I'm not going to ask you to check, John. John very wisely sat at the end of the pew this morning. You see it right down the bottom there? There you are. The rest of you can have a wee look at that. That's a Queen Victoria shilling from 1887. Now, that won't mean much to most of you, I imagine. There you go. There you are. Louise, you see as well. Now, that shilling is actually very special to me. Not very special, really, to very many other people. It was very special to me. It was a long, long, long time ago. It was a little girl called Mary was born in Belfast. She was born in 1810. Imagine 1810 is a long, long time ago. Now, you're born in South Africa. South Africa as a country didn't start in 1910. And for those of us from Northern Ireland, we didn't start in 1921. So Mary was born long, long, long before that. And in 1832, she married a man called Samuel in Rosemary Street Presbyterian Church in Belfast. And Mary and Samuel are quite important because they were my great, great, great grandparents. And Mary lived to be 77. And her youngest son, who was called James, because we have no imagination in our family how we name children, he was James the First. James the Fifth, you will see at the back. Those of you who served in the RUC will be familiar with James the Third. And yes, look around, give him a wave and embarrass him, because we could do some more of that in the second part. But whenever Mary died in 1887, her son James looked after her, and this coin was sitting on her bedside table. And so he decided that he would have it made into a watch chain so that he could remember his mummy. And he used this watch chain. And then when he became about a much older man, he had a little boy called Robert. Now, this won't mean very much to you at all, because they're my family and you don't know any of them. And then Robert had another son called James. Again, no imagination in our family. And James had a son called Robert. He also had a son called James who worked with Tom Davidson many years ago. Tom's awake, good. Stay with it, Tom. James had a son called Robert, and Robert had a son, well, his middle name was Robert, but his first name was Stephen, and that's me. And that coin has been held by lots of different people in my family right down through the last 136 years. That's great. There's nobody in our church has been around for 136 years. Our oldest member is nearly 98. Now, that won't mean very much to you. So I thought, now, they didn't have cameras that worked in Belfast around 1810 or 1830 or 1840, but they did have some that worked in this century. And this is a picture I keep at home. And that is the man who got this coin. That's his son, Robert, who's my great-granda. And that's James, who was my granda. And that's my daddy. Now, people in Railway Street won't know this man, although one of his daughters did marry a man from Glenavy. That was my granda, who James at the back is one of the people he's named after. And that was my daddy, whom some people in Railway Street will remember because he did come here from time to time. But those are people who are very, very special to me. And this coin is it helps me to remember, because I keep this on my bedside table as well. But the reason that they're very special, each of them taught people lots and lots of important things, and to remember, and family is all very, very important. But the most important thing that each of those people taught their children and their children's children was to know and to love the Lord Jesus. And that's the most important thing that we can do in our church, is to tell other people about the Lord Jesus. And the reading we had was about a man called Gaius, who was a friend of John. And John was able to say that Gaius had been faithfully helping to share the good news about the Lord Jesus. And whatever we have looked back in the past, and lots of good things have happened in the past that we can thank God for. But I'm very grateful to God for all those people. And sometimes I look at that coin and that helps me to remember them. And sometimes I look at the pictures of those three people and they remember. If you folk can stay here for part two, we're going to stand and sing Love Came Down at Christmas. Now, just before you go back up to wherever you were sitting, as you've been great sitting here so far. Leo's looking forward to going back to France next year, isn't he? There's lots of other things we can look forward to. But he wanted to look into the distance. What maybe would you use? What could you use? You're going to make a guess, Jordan, are you? You're going to look at the distance. You wanted to look up and see Mr. Pinkerton right at the back of the gallery. What would you use? Any ideas? If you want to even look further out into space, what might you use? Would you use a telescope? Or what else might you use with two things? We use binoculars. You might use binoculars, right? Well, I have brought some with me this morning. And I need two volunteers. Just talk amongst yourselves quietly. Now, in our reading, we read about three men. One was called Gaius, one was called Demetrius, and one was called Diotrephes. And that's not easy to remember. You can remember, could you remember that? I'm sure you could remember that. But anyway, these three men, and whenever John was writing, he wrote some things about each of the three of them. Now, if you wanted to look up to the back of the gallery, you want to help again? Yeah, right, come on then. Which of these would you take, Archie, if you want to look to the back of the gallery? You take that one? Yeah. Are you sure? Right, you go ahead and have a look at that. And if you see, give the people up in the gallery, give Archie a wave. That's good. That's great, isn't it? Yep, you can see them now. Yeah, don't look at them the wrong way. Now tell me this. Those look the same, don't they? The congregation. Do you want to go? Do you want to go as well? Right. Which ones would you like to take? I'm not sure you do want to take those, but you can take them if you want to. Now, for goodness sake, don't put those to your eyes, otherwise your mother will have me in trouble. Can you see through that? You can't, can you? Why can't you see through it? There's all sorts of muck on it, isn't that right? Now there are very, thank you very much. You see that? You wouldn't, which one of those would you like? Those, you'd like those ones. What do you think about that, Aaron? Yep, you'd like those ones. Which ones? You'd like those. I think we're going to get a unanimous vote here. Now you have a go as well, Jordan. See if you can see Daddy and Mummy and give them a wave. That's great. Yeah. There you are, Leo. Which ones would you choose? You choose those. Right, for very wisely, Louise, would you want to take these? These all look pretty much, to everybody sitting in church, these look much, much the same. But Louise says, oh, there's all sort of muck and dirt in those ones. They're really not much, much good. They look okay on the outside. They look okay from a distance. And Archie can say that these definitely work. And Jordan can say that these definitely work. These ones that work, these ones that are good, are like Demetrius and like Gaius in the story. Because they are ones that work and that help and that do what they're supposed to do. These ones, like Demetrius, they might look okay from a distance, and they might give the impression that they work, but when you get close up, they don't work. And what John is saying to the people who were reading his letter was, you want to be like Demetrius and like Gaius, and be people that do what God wants us to do, and not like Demetrius, who doesn't. So thank you very much for listening. I will try not to make the sermon very long. See how many times I say Gaius, Demetrius, or Diotrephes. I can see I've lost at least one of you with the name Diotrephes. I'm not necessarily sitting up here. You go back to wherever you're sitting. See if you can count the number of times. There's not a prize, but there are some chocolates in the porch still from Christmas morning if you want to take one. And if you're sitting in church, Leo, if you want to run down and get one and come back up again, that's perfectly all right. The rest of us, we're going to lift our morning offering, I hope. Yes, we are going to lift our morning offering. So if you go back to your seats, thank you very much for listening so well. Let us again unite our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving God and gracious Heavenly Father, we come to thank you this morning for all your goodness to us. We thank you for the prayers that we have offered during the year that has gone. We thank you for those that you have answered. We come to thank you for your work in our congregation, for the many ways that you have blessed us. We thank you for those this year who have found faith in the Lord Jesus. We thank you for helping us to grow to be more like him. We pray that you would continue to work in and through our church family, that more would come to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour and as their friend, that all of us would grow in faith and in likeness to him in the days that lie ahead. We pray that you would help us as a congregation to be effective in our work and witness for our living Lord. We give you thanks for all who lead and serve in any way in the life and work of our church. We pray that each would know your strength and your sustaining grace to meet the challenges that come and the opportunities that are presented in the new year. Today we especially remember and give thanks for our minister Michael and for his family, for Heidi and for Hannah, for Joan, for Adeline, for Janet. We pray your blessing to rest upon them and all who serve in different ways here. We remember David, our BB captain, and Hilary, our GB captain, and ask that your blessing would rest upon each of them and upon their families. We thank you for the different groups that meet and that work within the life of our church. We pray your blessing to rest upon each one, that each would be able to serve you and to serve our community. Dear our Father, we recognize there are those within our church family who are not well at the moment. We pray for those who are ill, for those who are caring for them, for those who are concerned about loved ones, that you would draw very close to each one of them, that you would grant them each the help that they need. We thank you that you are the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, and you come and you meet each one of us at the very point of our need. We pray especially for those today who are struggling in whatever way, that you would bring into their circumstance those who are best placed to help them. Today especially we ask for those who mourn, that they would know that comfort that only you can provide. But for each of us, as we give you thanks for the year that has been and trust you for the year that is to be, we pray that you would help us to serve you where you have placed us. We ask that you would continue to build your church here, asking that the gates of hell would not prevail against it. For all we ask is in the strong and mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. We're going to sing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. If we stand, if we're able, and sing. One of the more interesting challenges that comes with live streaming our services, at least for those of us who are preaching, is to choose the picture that advertises our service each week on our website. Now, choosing a suitable picture isn't always easy, particularly for those of us who are not blessed with the gift of creativity, but we do have at least the default of a picture of our own church building if we need to use it. Look back over the last year and see how often that's happened. Now, the Romans, whose empire you may or may not think about periodically, had a two-faced deity called Janus. His image was of a head with two faces, one looking forwards, the other looking backwards. Now, I didn't think it was appropriate to use a picture of a Roman deity for our service this morning, hence we've got one of two seagulls looking in the same direction. But yet, for many at this time of the year, we do try to be a bit like Janus, after whom our month of January is named, as we try to look backwards and look forwards at the same time. As an old year draws to its close, it's a time to reflect on what has gone before and how we have reached where we are at present. Similarly, as a new year dawns, it does so with a sense of anticipation, good or bad, for what this new year may hold. The Apostle John was the longest lived of Jesus' 12 disciples, and so was able to provide a different perspective on the gospel story to that of his contemporaries. In the five books he provided in the New Testament, he was able, under the direction of the Holy Spirit, to share insights into the narrative that look in more than one direction. It's for that reason this morning that we're going to consider briefly the book of 3 John, and do so thinking of looking back, looking forward, and finally looking up. So first of all, looking back. John addresses his letter to his friend Gaius. I'm afraid we don't know who this Gaius was, as Gaius was a very common name across the Roman Empire. But we can tell that he and John were believers, sharing in that mutual love that comes from a common faith in the Lord Jesus. John simply identifies himself as the elder. And it's clear that the first readers of this letter knew who this was. And from the earliest times, Christians have understood that this was the Apostle John himself writing. The same John who wrote the Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, and the book of Revelation. Perhaps, as in his Gospel, he doesn't directly refer to himself for the same reasons that he doesn't refer to himself directly to his readers in 2 John. Perhaps it was the threat of persecution that would make direct reference unwise or indeed unnecessary. But people knew who he was. John shares with Gaius how he had rejoiced when other Christians had come to share the news that Gaius was walking in the truth. They could both look back and share how, in the challenging days they were living in, both continued to live out their faith in the Lord Jesus. John asks that his friend would enjoy good physical health and that all would go well with him, just as his soul was prospering. The word used in the original text here for prosper carries the sense of continuing to have a good journey. It's a bit like us saying in our part of the world, all the very best. In his commentary on this passage, John Stott notes that the verbs for prosper and be in good health belong to the everyday language of letter writing for the first century. This phrase was so common that sometimes it was condensed into only initials, and everyone knew what the writer meant just from those initials. So the abbreviation used in Latin was SVBEEV, or Cae vales bene est ego valeo, or if those of you who were taught Latin to pronounce your V's slightly differently, Si vales bene est ego valeo. See, that O level in Latin wasn't completely wasted and hasn't left me completely. And if that's translated, it means, if you're well, it is good. I am well also. John used this common phrase in sending his best wishes and blessings to Gaius. This is not to be misinterpreted as a prosperity gospel. Jesus made it clear that those who trust in him walk on the narrow path, a path that is difficult and dangerous, with both joys and sorrows, challenges and opportunities, successes and failures. Just like the poem Footprints that perhaps we're familiar with, we sometimes cannot appreciate God's help in difficult situations until we look back and realize that even though we didn't fully understand it at the time, God himself has carried us through experiences, proving that he never leaves nor forsakes those who put their trust in him. Those experiences that we look back on do not normally happen in isolation. They so often have an impact on others, sometimes in ways that we ourselves can never think of or imagine. This month marked 100 years since the death of one of my eternal great-grandfathers, George Mackay. He was born in the very far north of Scotland, and as the youngest of five children, would not be able to make his living from the small family croft he grew up on. So he moved south and eventually became a civil engineer with an expertise in building railways. He was employed by what was then the Colonial Office of the United Kingdom Government to supervise railway building in Western Nigeria, and worked there for a number of years before his death in an industrial accident at the relatively young age of 45, when the explosive charges for a new railway cutting he was checking sadly ignited prematurely. However, the cutting was subsequently completed, and the locals were kind enough to name it after him. Now, some years ago, I was representing the bank at a function in Glasgow University and ended up sitting beside this professor from Nigeria. We got into conversation and I began to mention my connection with his country. His expression changed dramatically as I told the story that I've just told you. And with tears in his eyes, he explained that he was from that part of Nigeria. They had never forgotten the brave man who had lost his life trying to make a cutting for a railway line that conventional wisdom had said should not be attempted. As a result of the building of that railway, his grandfather and father had been able to benefit from education and commercial opportunities that would not have otherwise been possible. Without their success, he could not have completed his academic qualifications and become a university professor. He told me that they were eternally grateful to George Mackay, and it was his privilege to have met one of his descendants. As we look back and give thanks to God for his goodness to us in days past, we may never fully know this side of eternity, just what an impact for good and for God your journey and mine has been able to make on other people. But then we come to look forward. Jesus reminded those who would follow him that no one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Here Jesus was reminding us that we cannot live in the past. Life moves forward, and those who are called to follow him need to walk with him into the days ahead, rather than look back constantly, wishing that we could live in those more familiar territories that we've left behind. On the threshold of a new year, we are all faced with challenges and with opportunities. Some we can see already and look forward to, just like Leo going to France. Others will arrive on us either with some indication that they are coming or with absolutely no warning at all. As we look forward, God does not leave us on our own, but gives us examples that we can learn from. And in this letter from 3 John, we have three different examples, and we're going to think briefly about each one of them now. So first of all, Gaius. Gaius was a good example. John praised Gaius for his hospitality. Now, this may seem somewhat trivial to us, but it's not trivial to God. This is a practical outworking of the essential command to love one another. It is indeed love in action. This was a great compliment. You do faithfully whatever you do. Whatever God gives us to do, we should do it faithfully. Jesus said that when we see him face to face, some will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Of the good servant, it is said he was faithful. And that's my prayer and ambition for everyone connected with our church here in Railway Street, that when we meet the Lord, we will hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Gaius was encouraged to send those he had provided hospitality to forward on their journey in a manner worthy of God. In that day, Christian travellers in general, and itinerant ministers in particular, were greatly dependent upon the hospitality of other Christians. John knew that when Christians assist those who contend for the truth, they become fellow workers for that truth. We are not able to go and work with those missionaries and missionary organisations we support, but we can and do assist by our giving and by our prayers. We are their fellow workers, and as we head into a new year, let us resolve to continue to do so faithfully. The reward for these support people is the same as those who are out fighting on the front line. We read of this, for example, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, where the spoils of battle were distributed equally among those who fought and those who supported. King David understood that the supply lines were just as vital as the soldiers, and God would reward both soldiers and supporters properly and generously. You know, the Lord Jesus promised that even the help offered in a cup of cold water to one of his children would not be forgotten when God brings his reward. And you know, this also explains why John would pray to God for the prosperity of Gaius. He used his resources in a godly way, being a blessing to others. So if God blessed him with more, others would be blessed with more also. The ancient world was filled with missionaries and preachers of various religions, and they often supported themselves by taking offerings from the general public. John said that Christian missionaries are to be distinctive by taking nothing from non-believers, instead looking to fellow Christians for financial and practical support in their work for God's kingdom. We are reminded that Christians are not only called to help, but to help in a manner worthy of God. In doing so, we serve our Heavenly Father and work for his glory through the advancement of his kingdom. This is the lesson that I believe Gaius can teach you and teach me today. But then we come to think about this man, Diotrephes, a bad example. Although a leader in the early church, his reputation has come down to us as one who was ambitious, proud, inhospitable, rebellious, and utterly disrespectful of apostolic and divine authority. He was one of those self-important individuals who sadly we all come across at some point in our lives, and from whom unfortunately the church is not immune. John publicly rebuked this man, and he rebuked him by name. In rebuking him by name, the apostle of love did not act outside of love. Instead, he followed the command of Scripture with the desire that Diotrephes would repent and return to the fold. The problem Diotrephes had was pride. In his pride, he did not receive apostles such as John. This was in contrast to the humble hospitality of Gaius, the man who walked in the truth. In writing about Diotrephes, the theologian James Montgomery Boyce comments that those who love to have preeminence or first place in the church commit the original and greatest of all sins. It is the sin of Satan, though he who was unwilling to be what God had created him to be, and who desired to be like the Most High himself. He goes on to explain that this is the very opposite of the nature of Christ, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. Diotrephes not only failed to receive John and the other apostles, but he also spoke against them. His malicious gossip against the gospel, against the apostles, showed what kind of man he really was. The Greek verb which is here translated gossiping comes from a root which was used of the action of water in boiling up and throwing off bubbles. Since bubbles are empty and useless, the verb eventually came to mean indulgence in empty or useless talk. This was the nature of this man's slander, though of course the words were no less evil or less damaging for being utterly groundless. Diotrephes not only used his influence to forbid others from showing hospitality to John or his associates, his words developed into actions, as he even tried to excommunicate those who tried to obey the apostolic teaching to show such hospitality. Diotrephes had assumed an unwarranted and pernicious authority in the church, so much so that by the time of the writing of this letter, John's own authority had been challenged, and those who had been sympathetic to John had been excommunicated from the local assembly. Moreover, due to this struggle, travelling missionaries had been rudely treated, including probably an official delegation from John himself. However, it's interesting to note that despite having the authority to do so, John did not excommunicate this gentleman. He simply exposed him, and he trusted that discerning Christians would avoid Diotrephes as they should. As we look forward, we will no doubt come across those who behave like Diotrephes. God's word gives us a very clear guidance on what to do when we come across such individuals. Very simply, it's to stay well away from them. There is also a timely warning here for all of us in church leadership, at whatever level, not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, lest we end up turning into a latter-day version of Diotrephes. God's call to us is to be like Jesus, something we can each do by making time in prayer and in the study of his word each day. As the hymn puts it, when we fear our faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. He will not let his faithful child become like Diotrephes or indeed any other malevolent influence. And thirdly and briefly, we come to think about another good example, Demetrius. He was a man we know very little about, but what we do know about him makes him worth emulating. Demetrius is a good testimony from all, and John recommended him to Gaius. Scripture doesn't tell us, but some commentators consider that he may have been the messenger who carried this letter from John to Gaius, and John wanted Gaius to know that Demetrius was worthy of Christian hospitality. Demetrius is a good testimony from all, and from the truth itself. Demetrius was so faithful to the truth that even the truth, the Lord Jesus, was a witness on his behalf. He was his faithful servant, and that's the best way to look forward, imitating what is good, avoiding what is evil, and trusting in the one who holds the future. So as we come to look up, and we look at the society we live in, it comes as no great surprise that as one year ends and another begins, the contemporary view is just like the Romans portrayed in Janus. It's a view that is two-dimensional, trying to look back and look forward at the same time, and so often just results in a confused muddle. As I reflect on my time working in banking, I think I could distill many of the reports that I submitted to our senior management down to the following. Over the period of this report, however long or short it may have been, I did not experience any problems. Instead, my days and occasional nights were filled to overflowing with issues, opportunities, challenges, valuable learning experiences, and development opportunities. Indeed, my professional goal, like that of so many others, was to retire without getting the blame for any major catastrophe, something I reckon that I managed to achieve successfully. At least nobody's come after me in the last year for anything. Yet there's so much more to life than simply living in a two-dimensional muddle, where our primary objective is to avoid blame. The Lord Jesus came to offer life in all its fullness to those who put their trust in him. And it is in looking up that this vital third dimension brings that meaning and purpose. John concludes his letter to Gaius, telling him that he had many things to write, but his desire was to come and meet his friend and talk to him in person. No, it's not simply in meeting someone, but in getting to know them, that they become our friend, one who can bless and enrich our lives as we can theirs. This is the type of relationship Gaius and John had developed, one which serves as an example of that greater relationship between the believer and their Lord. One of the things I try to do at the end of each year is to pause and reflect how my Christian life has developed over the last 12 months. Have I grown to be more like the Lord Jesus, or have I simply been marking time, going through the motions? Have I made quality time to spend in prayer and in reading God's word, or have I just gone and done things out of habit? Is my perspective one that is just looking back or looking forward? Or is my life still directed by looking up to the Lord Jesus to lead and to guide and to help me? If you do this too, I trust that you'll find it helpful. And if you don't do it yet, then perhaps it's something you might want to consider doing. Maybe today you have joined us either in person or online or by phone. And you're still looking back and looking forward, but you haven't yet made that decision to look up. Make this today the day that you decide to look up and to see the Lord Jesus, to come and to meet with him, to ask him to be your Saviour, and to live in your heart and help you day by day to live for him. The letter concludes with greetings sent from the friends with whom John was living and working, to greet the friends with Gaius, and to greet them by name. Here we have that greatest bond of friendship, one forged and sustained by that personal relationship that each one had with the Lord Jesus. Minister once shared this with his very well-educated and very well-decorated congregation. Most of them had at least one set of letters after their name and seemed very good at quoting them on the correspondence that they sent him. He asked what the most important set of letters after someone's name would be and received the full pantheon of responses from MBEs to PhDs and all that rest in between. Now, important as all of those things are, he told them, the best letters that any of us can put after our names are not awarded either by our sovereign or by a university. That the letters FOJ, standing for Friend of Jesus. Knowing this is what helps us to look up to him and so have our perspective directed by him day by day. John concludes his letter with a desire and expectation for peace. As we look up, we can know God's peace, no matter what looking back or looking forward will bring to you or will bring to me. And I trust that as this year finishes and a new year begins, that this peace through knowing the Lord Jesus will be your experience and mine until he comes or calls. Amen. As always, as we finish, a word of thanks to all our musicians, to the folk on Sound and Vision, to the folk who are our welcomers, the folk who provide our tea and coffee. You do it every week. We couldn't function without you, and we're profoundly grateful to you. Let's conclude our service of worship as we say together the words of the grace. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. And when New Year comes, a very happy New Year to everyone.